This idea of being in a perfect state and knowing all things, especially, if I may say so, of the very narrow religious aspect which so many apply to life after death, would be so utterly boring, so utterly distressing, that no one could possibly want to have that existence. It may be very nice, for instance, and very comforting, to have certain fixed ideas in regard to religion and to find pleasure and joy in going to church and listening to different sermons and singing the same hymns. All that may be very pleasant once or twice a week, but if people were to go on for eternity with these religious convictions, one would long for death. Jump to chapter 8. Mickey, can you hear me, Auntie? Self, very well, thank you, Mickey. Mickey, good. Are you getting ready for Christmas? Self, not yet, it is too soon. Mickey, assuming a tone of surprise, haven't you got all your presents and things? Are you going to your sister's place? Self, not this time, Mickey. Mickey, you won't be on your own, will you? Self, I do not think so. Douglas, at the right moment, he one's a nosy young man. Gales of laughter. Actually, of course, he is really very kind. He thinks that probably you will be on your own and rather lonely. How are you today? Self, very fit, thank you, dear. Douglas, I must say it has turned out a very nice day for you. It means you can get about comfortably. What shall we talk about? Self, you said some time ago that you would like to concentrate on incarnations. Douglas, what worries me is the fact that no matter what I underscore may tell you in regard to incarnations, I think it would be extremely doubtful if people would be able to accept it, because how can one prove it? That is the only snag. Self, the fact of your telling me is proof enough for me. Douglas, yes, it is proof to you, but I doubt if a vast number of people would be inclined to consider it proof from their point of view. I can tell you all sorts of things about previous existences which are of great interest and which you would accept, but I cannot help wondering if other people would. Self, had you more than one incarnation in England? Douglas, not to my knowledge. I may have had, but, of course, one is not necessarily able to recapture memories of all one's incarnations. Some incarnations stand out prominently, others do not. The Egyptian incarnation when I was a priest attached to the religious organization of the time at Karnak is one that is now very prominent in my memory. I was always seeking truth, trying to find out more if I could about philosophy and religion, and trying to understand the purpose of life. It surprises me, even now, that with all my incarnations and all the experience and knowledge, particularly that gained over here in the various periods between incarnations, I became so narrow in my views in my last incarnation. I have a very strong feeling on looking back that I closed my mind to some extent to truth from the point of view of seeking it in other ways. Self, perhaps you had not even heard of spiritualism. Douglas, I had heard of it, naturally, and I knew something of Lodge's experiments and all that. But although I thought there might be some truth in it, I was never drawn to it because I felt that one ton was fundamentally wrong. I thought one had no right to probe in that sense, and that if one did make a contact at all with the so-called dead, it would probably be of a low order. I know there are many very sincere and genuine mediums, but in a number of instances, and it may not necessarily be their fault, they seem to be quite content to work on what I would call a low vibration instead of aspiring to contact higher and more evolved souls. These astral communications may be of interest and value to a point, but I do not think they have any real spiritual significance. Self, for evidence in the beginning they are most valuable. Douglas, I appreciate that one must have the evidential side, one must have the proof of identity, and that the communication in the first instance must be with personal contacts, one's friends and relatives, people one has known who are able to supply sufficient evidence of a kind that would give conviction, but it does seem to me that communications are more concerned with the mundane and the material than ever they are with the spiritual. We realize that the fundamental truth of spiritualism is universal, and applies to all human life and affects all people. It is the basic truth of all religions, but whether it should become a religion in itself as such, that I am rather inclined to doubt. We would like to feel that there could come a universal knowledge, a universal realization of truth, where all people would have a common understanding which would break down all these stupid barriers of ignorance and prejudice that have been built up over centuries. The great barrier, surely, in human life as far as religion is concerned is the intolerance which has been the basis of terrible happenings between people because they thought they were right and others were wrong. Christ came into the world to show by his own life how one could find the kingdom of God, to show how one could enter into it while yet on earth, mentally and spiritually, and to overcome death as he did, and prove his identity as he did, to his disciples in the upper room and to others. In other words, it seems to me that Christ came to show a way of life and to become an example, but Christianity seems to have traveled a long way in the opposite direction. Self, returning to incarnations, dear, do we ever incarnate on other planets? Douglas, there are certain planets which are really worlds of spirit. These are inhabited by people who once lived on Earth who have been released from their physical bodies, released from their physical condition of Earth, and have entered into a new life in what you term the planets. People on your side assume that there could not be any life as you know it on the planets, but, of course, that is quite wrong. Many of the planets are inhabited. Self, where are you in relation to the planets? Douglas, well, if you want me to give a geographical area, that is impossible. The point is that all our worlds, all the spirit worlds, are planets. I do not know quite what some people assume about our world, but of course we are in worlds such as yours, but of a higher order. And since, apart from anything else, they are far removed from Earth and earthly thought and earthly conditions, and not subject to the same laws of nature, there are great differences. These planets of which I speak are our worlds, and they are real worlds in which we live and have our being, in which we live a more rarefied and a more purified life. Self, you said on one occasion that Russia is nearly in contact with your worlds, scientifically. Douglas, yes, I think Russia is nearer to achieving communication with us than they are, for instance, to landing on any of the planets. I only hope that when this comes they will realize the immensity of it and make it something from which the whole world can benefit. But we must not confuse issues here. I think there is a vast difference between Russia sending up a spacecraft and landing on one of the planets, and having a scientific form of communication with our world, because one is the world of the spirit, and the other is a form of life which has no spiritual significance as such. Self, yet I understood you to say that people on those planets are highly evolved. Douglas, of course they are, but those particular planets are far removed. In fact, they are not even visible to people on Earth through the most highly specialized apparatus. They are planets of which you have no knowledge, these spiritual planets of which we speak. The ones nearer to you which are visible, at least some of are of a different order altogether. Then what I am trying to say is that it is feasible that there may be a scientific approach to certain planets which will not necessarily be of any great benefit to man. We are concerned, obviously, with scientific development and communication with higher planets which will be of real benefit. One must remember that the Earth in itself is but a speck in the firmament, it is not what it seems. You may say the world is vast, but as a world as such it is infinitesimally small. You hear people say, well, if there is this business of life after death, where do all these untold millions of people who have lived and died over the centuries on Earth exist? One's mind cannot grasp that there could be a world or worlds which could make it possible for all these people to exist in another sphere. The point is, as I said, that the Earth world itself is very small, but there are so many, many worlds, spiritual worlds. This is why people, when they come from different worlds and different planets, will tell you perhaps something rather different. Though there may be a basic realization of things and the fundamental truths are there, there are so many different avenues of thought and experience that one person may tell you one thing appertaining to themselves and their realm or life of spirit, and another person will tell you so much that is different. Each one will tell you his own experience of things. they may have never met, they may be on quite different spheres, self, at a seance like this, I suppose there are souls from many different spheres. Douglas, yes, there are many people who gather on an occasion like this, from different spheres and planets, and naturally they would like to speak, but since it is easier for one person to come who has become accustomed as I have to speaking, self, interrupting, well, this is your second book, dear. Douglas, J. hope it will be one of several, which is rather a tall order for you. I often wonder how much we shall be able to accomplish in the time that is left. You have a few years to go yet. I am still hoping the first book will be published. In a sense, that is an introduction to a second, and perhaps a third book. There is so much one wants to say, so much one wants to tell. Self, sometime, I would like to hear more about the technique of voice communication. Douglas, the whole point is that it is the transmission of thought into sound and is purely, in a sense, an artificial communication. I would not like people to assume from that, however, that it is not me speaking. Of course it is me speaking, but not under normal, natural conditions as I would do when on Earth in my own physical body. Even on Earth, speech is the transmission of one's thoughts, utilizing the vehicle of expression, which after all is merely the larynx and so on. We do exactly the same. The only difference here is that we have to use an artificial larynx which is formed from ectoplasm, a substance drawn chiefly from the medium and molded into a shape similar to the vocal organs. This will reproduce our thoughts, but whether it produces our particular personality and characteristics of speech, I do not know. It may well do so at some times, but not at others. Communication depends on so many conditions of the medium, things, the and also what atmospheric power the communicator has within himself. If his personality is a strong one, it will impose itself in such a way that it will reproduce itself even though it is done artificially. The whole thing depends on so many conditions being right at that moment. Self, are you enclosed in the voice box? Douglas, no, I would not say we are enclosed in a voice box, but it is as if one inhabits, temporarily, not exactly a body as such, but something that has the reproducing organs of sound, that one's, it is a larynx, it is vocal organs, which means that when one concentrates oneself into this, it responds. Our problem is to manipulate this voice box by concentration, and at the same time recapture memories appertaining to one's past to bring through as proof and evidence when necessary, and also to give the message that we have, particularly if it is a message appertaining to our life over here on an entirely different vibration. It is sometimes like trying to do three or four things at the same time. It can be very difficult and very confusing, and even with old hands at it like myself, there are times when it is extremely difficult, and we have to avoid confusion. Confusion is one of our main problems. Often there are many other souls around whose thoughts are very strong. Many of them are very anxious, of course, to communicate themselves. Although we have order and some organization when communication takes place, we must always remember that thoughts are living things and very powerful, and sometimes the thoughts of the medium, or the thoughts of the sitter, such as yourself, or the thoughts of other people hanging around, bystanders you might say, can, if one is not careful, unconsciously interfere with the communication. It is very difficult to explain, but we have many things to contend with, and really to become a very good communicator needs a great deal of practice and trial and error, constant application of oneself to it, and intensity of thought and concentration. Of course, the more opportunity one has the better it is. Self, we think you are a wonderful communicator, dear. Douglas, well I have been doing it for a good many years, and now that you have really set up the link by constant sittings, it makes it easier for me. Anyway, I am very happy about what we have been able to achieve, and I am hoping we shall be able to have many more talks on all sorts of subjects. Chapter 9 Spiritual Progression. Mickey, where are you going for Christmas, Auntie? Self, I hope to be with friends, Mickey. Mickey, you will. I do not like to think of you being on your own. This is a time when people get together, ain't it? Self, yes. What are you going to do?
Mickey, what am I going to do?
Oh, I'm going away for a rest to get out of it all.
Mr. Flint, amused, oh dear.
Mickey, I shall be very glad to get away from Earth vibrations for a while. Sadly, I get just a bit weary sometimes.
Self, do you, Mickey?
But think of all the good you are doing by your life of service.
Mickey, that's the only thing that keeps me going.
Self, we all love you.
Mickey, brightening up, thank you.
Happy Christmas.
Douglas, hello. I have been looking forward tremendously to today.
What shall we talk about?
Self, perhaps celebrations and festivals on your side.
Douglas, after a pause, I am trying to think how one would begin to describe a celebration or a festival, in words.
And, of course, what would be a festival for one group of people would not be the same for another, depending on their evolution or lack of it. The difference fears, according to the individuals and according to their outlook and their knowledge, will express themselves accordingly. Some would have what you would call quite an hilarious party with all the things that you associate with it, even food. But that would apply to a lower sphere where the people themselves have not yet progressed sufficiently to realize that many of these things are no longer essential or important. Those living on the more advanced planes would have a very highly advanced form of expression, and in consequence would create for themselves functions where the conversation would be highly intelligent and highly spiritual. The whole atmosphere would be of extreme beauty, far removed from anything that one could hope to describe. The point is that it would be for those people a joyous and happy time without the banalities one would associate with celebration on a lower plane. It is a matter of progress. Of course, you would have many congregations of people on this side, particularly those who were thinking very much in the same kind of way as they did when on Earth, who would have what you would term a Christian celebration. They would have religious services similar in concept to what you know as a religious service on your side. So much depends on how far the individuals concerned have evolved. An evolved state of beings whose minds were unfettered and free, and without any strong views or ideas brought over from Earth, would be able to experience to a fuller extent the joys and beauties of this life, and create a condition which by its very nature would bring celebrations of a kind very dissimilar to Christian festivals. One of the first things we have to realize on this side is that so much of what we have been taught and have accepted is not strictly accurate. This in no way deprecates Christ and his teachings. What one must divorce oneself from are the man-made ideas and the rituals, and all the aspects and trappings which have made Christ, to a great extent, unacceptable to many people. We must always remember that Christ was, by his very nature, a spiritual being, and that although he lived and worked in a material world, he was always striving for spiritual realization. But the church over the centuries has so built up this mythological aspect, I use the term mythological because although the church has always assumed that it preached a living Christ, it has really created a mythical figure, that Christ is now far removed from his original personality. Christ was a man the same as any other human being, but he had the power of the Spirit so strongly within himself that it was able to manifest itself in every conceivable way, unknown of before or since his time. But the church has built up this peculiar figure which, in many instances, has driven people away rather than drawn them to Christ. So, of course, the obvious thing is that on many of the spheres where Christ is still very much misinterpreted and misunderstood, 74 spiritual progression you have what you term Christian festivals, religious festivals very similar to those you know on Earth, with great congregations of people worshipping and idolizing, bowing the knee, praying, singing and so on. There are many religious denominations or groups, I think I have mentioned this before, in which the people still assume that their particular way is the right way and that their particular conception of Christ is the right conception. There are many people who by their very nature, and their thoughts, still continue to carry this atmosphere around themselves, and after all, what is atmosphere but thought forces at work? People, by their thoughts,
create the environment in which they exist, and if a person has very strong religious convictions, not necessarily Christian, for he could well be a Buddhist, or a Mohammedan, he will find himself in such a community of people, where he will naturally feel most at home, where he will be most comfortable, and for him, of course, it will be a form of paradise. That is the glory, I suppose, of this world, the spiritual world of which we speak, that for every human being there is a niche, there is a form of paradise. There is no doubt about it that one may go through a whole period of time where one is perfectly happy and yet living, in a sense, in a condition of illusion. And then gradually, very gradually, one begins to think more deeply and to question. The whole point is that there can be no real progress until man starts to question and probe, until he starts to wonder if there is a possibility that his particular faith could be wrong. So much has been added, as you well know, over the centuries to the Christian teaching, so much has been added to the figure of Christ. I am quite sure Christ wanted to be accepted as a man, but a man who was driven by the power of the Holy Spirit, a man who came to show the path and the way and the light, so that others might follow and emulate him. Christ did not come to be revered as a god, or even to create a religion in the sense that a religion has been built up around him. As a matter of fact, he was one who broke away from orthodox religion. In his early youth he began to see the frailties of human nature and the faults in his own particular religious faith in which he had been brought up. He realized that God was truly speaking to him and through him, and that he was, in a sense, on a divine, 75, link with the Godhead, and had a work and a purpose. He realized also that this divine power was not in the physical or material body, but in the mind and the spirit. It is this divine power which is by its very nature able to overcome all things, which will outlast all things. It was this force, this vital power, which mattered to him, and it was this power which he used. Self. How would those who have outgrown orthodox ideas and customs celebrate Christmas? Douglas. Well, when one has begun to think seriously and begun to see Christ in the real light, one realizes that all great teachers and prophets have the same message, coming through different channels but fundamentally the same. So when man ceases to have this narrow concept and opens his mind and his whole being to truth, then he enters into a wider and more acceptable world. He leaves behind all the religious barriers and enters into a world where there are festivals which are not necessarily Christian as you understand them, and not necessarily held because, as on earth, it is Christmas time. There are all manner of festivals in which music plays a very important part. Great composers, of course, compose works which are performed by great orchestras, great singers create harmonious and glorious sounds. This is music that tells of the evolution of man, music that tells of life itself, and of many lives. Sometimes illustrations are given of individual slaves, sometimes an individual who has a desire to express himself will, by his own effort, create a work which will project not only music, but also a picturization of past events in his or her own life and evolution. For here, when you listen in a great auditorium to great music, you are also able to visualize a picturization on a vast natural screen. This is the only way I can put this, of the great events appertaining to individuals and groups of individuals, and to group souls. Different incarnations can be revealed. The whole history, if you like, of human life and endeavor is projected visually and orally. Self, after a pause, what will you be doing at Christmas? Douglas, I shall hope to spend some time with you on Christmas Day. Self, I shall look forward to that. Is that brilliant light, like a star, which I see so often moving about, part of you? Douglas, it could well be, but I cannot say for certain. I make every effort to attract attention and to give you some idea or impression of my presence, but how it may manifest itself to you in a physical sense, I am not always sure. But I am quite convinced that you do quite often sense and feel my presence, although you may not see me with the physical eyes, I am sure you see me inwardly. Self, yes, I do. Will you be with your family, dear? Douglas, we shall no doubt come together over what you call the Christmas period, not necessarily because it is Christmas as such, but because, I suppose, we often desire to be together, although we may not be together a lot. And, of course, there is this sort of realization which we draw from Earth of the getting together at Christmas that families do, and in consequence it has some effect on us. For instance, many, many souls from this side do troop back to Earth, even though it is only temporary, just to see friends and loved ones. It is only natural that they should, particularly with those who have not been over very long, those who are still very near to Earth and are very conscious of the thoughts of people on Earth. Especially at the Christmas period, when normally they would have come together, they like to feel they are still part of the family, part of the interest of those they have left behind. There is a great linking up at Christmas. Self, if only more people would realize that, it would take so much sorrow out of life. Douglas, it would make a vast difference. It would take away this fear of death, and this terrible loneliness that so many people feel. Of course, I know there will always be a kind of physical loneliness for people who are separated by so-called death. But when one has the inner realization and knowledge of this truth, it gives such comfort and help. The tragedy of your world is that so few understand and know of it. And at this time, I suppose, it is worst for people who are bereft of those whom they love, if only they understood how near they are to them. Self, poor Mickey sounds a little tired. Douglas, no doubt the boy is tired. Coming back to Earth constantly must be very exhausting. Self, what effect does it have on you when you return to your own vibrations after leaving here? Douglas, fortunately for us, we can soon shake off the material effects. We soon lose the consciousness of material things. And, after all, what draws us back is not so much the material aspect of their, 77, Earth life, but the love and affection of people who are still on Earth. We bring away from Earth not earthly thoughts and earthly things, but the realization of love and affection of people still on Earth, and in consequence, it is not difficult for us to shake off the Earth conditions. The only people who perhaps do find difficulty in shaking off Earth conditions are the people who by their very work and effort from this side are constantly coming back, the guides, for instance, those highly evolved souls who devote so much time to helping in your world. Although you would think that because of their nature and their high state of evolution they would easily throw off material things, it is not necessarily so. It is difficult for them because they become so immersed in trying to help, and the more sensitive a person becomes, the more difficult it is to throw off these vibrations. But for the ordinary person, who just occasionally pops in to see you and see how you are getting on, and is only conscious, really, of the individual love and affection of the person concerned, it is not difficult to throw off earthly vibrations. Self, I understand that the guides withdraw at this time. Douglas, yes. I was going to tell you that many of the guides, the great ones who work near Earth, and with earthly souls, do at the Christmas period draw away from the Earth. It is an opportunity to recharge themselves, you might say, with new vitality and power, then they come back in the coming year refreshed to work again. Self, they are wonderful. Douglas, yes, and you are very much guided and helped not only by me but by many others. I just want you to know that I shall definitely be with you on Christmas Day, and I want you to be happy. I expect you will be a little lonely, but I shall be there. I shall speak to you again in the new year. Mickey, singing brightly to the tune of Happy Birthday, Happy Christmas to you, Auntie Konica, to you. Goodbye. Chapter 10, At the Time of Christ. Mickey, Happy New Year. Self, the same to you, Mickey. Mickey, we do not have New Year's. That's a material thing. I mean, you go by the moon and the stars, and the calendar, and all that, but that do not affect us. Anyway, I wish you a Happy New Year and a very peaceful one. Self, thank you. Did you have a nice rest over Christmas? Mickey, well, yes, I did really. I certainly didn't come down to your side. Laughing merrily, ha, ha. I had a bit of a break. Self, did you see your parents?
Mickey, yes, I do see them sometimes, but we're not sort of very close. You see, with all due respect, they haven't progressed very far. One tries to help them, but they were both, I do not mean this unkindly, but they were both very selfish people. All my mum thought about was going to public houses, drinking and all that. You do not go to pubs, do you?
Self, laughing, no, Mickey.